Everybody, welcome to Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always. Take you to three, handed off to our buddy Phil Benatti. His outstanding show behind the bench, the full 3 hours today. Starts over on 790. They're in Detroit. They'll start at 3:30 today. And for us, a very busy NFL weekend coming up. Busy football weekend that culminates Monday with the national championship game. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. A little bit later on, remind you about Ed's business, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And we'll talk about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in particular for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. And so where a lot of those graduates end up landing with Ed's business when they wrap up their degree. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Jackson Moore with me on a Friday now as our de facto co-host spends this time of the year with us, always on Tuesday, but on Fridays at this particular point because we wrapped up with Brian Panish and Bulldog Football Talk last week. So Matt Norville moves into Thursday. Jackson moves to Friday. Ferdy stays on Wednesday. And Paul, of course, Lepler will always be around on Monday. So that's the lineup as we move through. And with Jackson, we'll get to what we haven't talked about yet with him, which is the Fresno State basketball game against Colorado State, the upcoming game tomorrow against Wyoming. Also, we'll get to transfer portal as that puts the final period on that period of time a little bit later today. And we'll go over the national championship if there's time with Jackson as well. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, starting with our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Terrific local people, been in NorCal and the Central Valley since 1981. See the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing. Anything you need, leesair.com or again, 825-533-7825-LEES. They also bring guests like Jackson Moore up and also guests for Phil and callers from the general public and on the Lee's Air hotline. Mark it down. 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, that's what Lee's allows me the time to bring you every day. This is 7 days of same old, same old, and the fog was absolutely brutal last night. Looking, I'm up most of the night because of work schedules, particularly a lot of stuff that goes on back east that starts very early there, which is 3 hours earlier here. I had to move to Hawaii, and then it'd be a lot easier. I could do everything before bed instead of, never mind. That's why I could get the NFL started on a Sunday morning at 6:30 in the morning when the league kicks off every year. That would be more convenient, I think. But as far as what I saw last night in the security cameras outside, it was just a lot of fog, and I couldn't even see cars or anything else, in all honesty. And I know it's been a real problem. We talked about the very tragic crash on 99 last weekend. So you have, again, I think till 11 a.m. fog advisories every day. And as we've talked, if it burns off, we're actually a little bit warmer than seasonal. And that's the way it's going to be forecast wise the next 7 days. No rain in the forecast right now, maybe toward the end of next week. We'll see about that. But the lineup as far as highs and lows should top out at 62 today, 63 tomorrow, 61 on Sunday with the lows in the mid-40s, 64 Monday, then we go 65, 63, 65, and again mid-40s. So basically, if the sun is able to get through at some point, we get the mid-60s or close to it, and the lows in the mid-40s, and when the dew point is hitting there, then you've got yourself a real problem with the fog. So be very careful out there, and I hope everybody's able to stay safe, and we appreciate Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. At least it's nice in the afternoon right now. Again, leesair.com, 825-533-7825-LEES. Now, the final reminder comes courtesy of our friends at KFC. That would be the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Terrific local people. They support sports all across the valley, and we thank them for that and their sponsorship of everything at the station. And right now, they have the new Zinger chicken sandwich available at those KFCs. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken fillet. It's seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. it's bold, it's spicy, and it's always finger-licking good. As we mentioned, whether you're craving the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that for you with that great KFC crunch. Stop on in. Pick up sandwich or two. Also, keep in mind there are other great deals, including the Tuesday $10 eight-piece or eight tenders offer. That bucket, great value at $10. They have deals on their pot pies, also deals for their country fried steak. So a lot of great food at the local KFCs. And if you stop by in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, or Kerman, tell them thanks for everything they do for athletics in the Valley. It's very much appreciated. All right. All that having been said, right now on the Lee's Air Hotline, we turn to our de facto co-host, King of the Bark Board. That's right. Bark Boy himself. He knows better than to bark at his boss. It is, and that's not me, trust me. It is some woman holding a Georgia mug, last I checked. It is Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Doing okay. I don't believe that that is your actual boss there at Paramount, correct? I don't think so. No? Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. Your boss is not someone holding a Georgia Bulldog mug, is what you're telling me, right? I don't know. It's you know you're watching too much television when all you can see is that commercial or the woman who has fallen in love with the mirror right now, Jackson, for Plexiderm or whatever it is. That's when you know you're getting rummy watching TV, all right? So keep that in mind. I know you're a very busy man, so television is a rumor to you. Is that correct?
I've been watching enough to see that Bark Boy commercial plenty of times.
Yeah. Well, that's ubiquitous. Let's put it that way, all right? By the way, one thing, speaking of commerciality, people have heard about this. We talked about our pal Josh Allen, of course, MVP in the National Football League. By the way, it's pretty amazing when you think about it, Jackson, that two of the most prestigious, if not most prestigious awards, are MVPs in professional baseball and Major League Baseball and the NFL, and both of them belong to Valley products. Josh Allen, of course, in the NFL, and Aaron Judge for the second straight year for Major League Baseball. Pretty extraordinary for this area up to the northern part of the Valley and Linden and all of that by Stockton, and, of course, playing at Fresno State and for Josh being from Fireball. So pretty amazing. But we talked about the fact that Josh is married to Hailee Steinfeld, the fine actress who was just in Sinners not too long ago with Michael B. Jordan. Not Michael Jordan, Michael B. Jordan. All right. Michael B. Jordan's the nice Jordan. Michael Jordan is the great player who's a bleep a lot of the times. I'm going to mark that one down. But I think people are aware that Josh Allen and the Bills are in Denver. We'll have that game for you tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, 1:30, in front of the 49ers and the Seahawks from Westwood One. And somebody dug up post on the internet from the last time that Levi's Stadium hosted the Super Bowl, which was 10 years ago, 2016. And Hailee Steinfeld, of course, long before she even knew Josh, is there in Denver Bronco gear, a stadium jacket, which she was probably paid to wear. But they're asking Josh if that's a conflict of interest, Jackson. And he's smart enough to say, you know what? That was before I knew her. She probably was being paid for it. I'm not going to bring it up. That's a guy who knows how marriage works. You understand what I'm saying? That's the best approach. It's, I don't think it happened, but I'm not even going to ask about it. When you get married, this is my advice to you. Keep that in mind. It didn't happen. And even if you think it did, you're not going to ask about it. You got that okay? Have you jotted that down for me? Okay.
Loud and clear.
Just trying to help. Just trying to help. You know that. That's me, Mr. Helpful. All right. That's enough of that. Let's get started here. First with the transfer portal. I've asked about the plus or minus. Talked about this on Tuesday from the 2nd to today, the 16th. And you mentioned to me there's actually a 48-hour period beyond that to process everything. Has it been a positive, a negative, or none of the above, Jackson, the transfer portal and all of this stuff that goes with it for Fresno State?
I would say it's been a positive when you're just looking at the portal. I think when you factor in Fresno State's large senior class, there's a little bit more work to do with this offseason and a lot of spots to fill. But just simply looking at the guys who left, they've only had 15 transfer portal exits, and You know, most of those guys, not huge contributors on this last year's team. Obviously, Richie Anderson was a big one, and they just weren't going to be able to afford to keep him around. Jaden Davis would have been nice to have had around. No one else really on the depth chart as far as the season's end. So you take the minus of that group, but the plus of bringing in some commitments like Christian Martin, who could be your starting quarterback. Caleb Powell looks like a guy from Northern Illinois that could play right away in the secondary. Dylan Hamston should be an immediate impact pass rusher on this team. Manaki Watanabe, probably your starting kicker. So they've addressed quite a few needs. It would be nice for them to fill a few more. I know they're hosting some visits this weekend, and we'll see if that turns out to be fruitful. It would be nice to get a few more defensive backs, and they haven't really landed any offensive linemen yet, which has been a sore spot. It's been tough to afford offensive linemen in the portal, but I think when you're the big story here is that Coach Entz has got a lot of buy-in from this roster, I would say. I think, again, Davis is probably the one guy that you know, you would have liked to have hoped to convince to stay. Everyone else, I think, was probably very mutual. And that's a tough deal for a second-year coach sometimes. Even if you're successful, I even think about the last time Coach Tedford in a second stint, when he went into 2023, there was a lot of roster attrition, a lot more than we're seeing this year. Just it's usually the case for a second-year coach, whether it's schemes or styles or personalities. It just seems to be a lot of guys across college football go looking elsewhere from that year one to year two gap, but that just hasn't happened here. So the fact that they've retained so much and then they've added a few more pieces sets them up pretty nicely, but still some more work to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, the consternation that at least I had, I think a lot of people did, entering the portal period, which was, are you going to lose one of your key running backs? That has sort of been put to bed. And I guess part of it is geography. You have a local guy, of course, in Donaldson. You have a guy in Speedy Luke who's from SoCal. So, and he had compelling reasons to stay. And naturally, your fullback, of course, the Valley guy as well. So that has something to do with it, although if the money came calling, I would imagine they would have left. Is it your hunch that maybe what happened is by sharing the wealth so much with the running backs that everybody can certainly see their worth, but nobody's stats jumped out so much that maybe there was a feeling, a compelling feeling by some other school to pick them up? Jackson, was that part of it? I mean, as far as a numeric offer, that would have been one that was almost impossible to turn down?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like a lot of Fresno State's returning players kind of hit in that sweet spot where didn't necessarily put up huge numbers to be poached away, but were very solid for Fresno State and are guys you definitely want back in your starting lineup if you can afford to keep them. I think probably Simeon Harris is maybe the one guy across the roster. I'm surprised maybe a big offer didn't come his way. Maybe it did, and he turned it down. He also has compelling reasons to stay at Fresno State, but I think he was one guy that had the highlights that would have made it tough to keep him around. You know, you're almost at a point where you don't want players to do too well. You want to try to keep them around, and I think the running backs were in that sweet spot. You know, Richie Anderson didn't have huge numbers at tight end, but I think there's also kind of this spot in the portal where teams are scouting maybe guys that have certain athleticism that haven't quite been maximized to their potential yet, and he just checked all those boxes, and I was a little worried Speedy Luke might also be in there. You just know how fast he is, and he did enough to where I thought there might have been trouble keeping him, but as you mentioned as well, compelling reasons for him to stay. So I look at the receivers, a lot of potential in that room, not a lot of statistics. Any of those guys, maybe except for Josiah Freeman hitting the portal, might not have had a whole lot of interest based off of their numbers. So it's a nice spot to be in as far as the offseason goes. You look at probably Boise State, San Diego State, I think they have more probably top-end players, and now they're all gone. They've all been poached away, and they've got to put in the work this offseason to find new ones, where Fresno State can kind of try to parlay 25 and the 26.
Well, you're right on all counts. And of course, we know, and we talk about this so often in the draft in professional sport, it only takes one, right? All it takes is one, in this case, school that falls in love with one of your players, and a school that not only falls in love with one of your players, but has the financial wherewithal, usually from a benefactor somewhere around the program, to pull them in. So you never say never about this stuff, but by and large, it has worked out pretty well for Fresno State. I did want to ask you, because although we mentioned the name, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, about what you believe that Christian Martin brings to the table. I mean, is this a guy, certainly he's going to compete for a starting job, but is this a guy that you say adds depth and keeps the seat warm while the younger guys, meaning Mandel and Rose, get ready? Or is Martin a legitimate guy for 3 years around here? What do you say about it?
Well, I think when you look at the trends of a guy like Martin coming from Maryland to Fresno State, I think probably the ideal goal for a lot of those players is to have a fantastic year and get paid Power Four money the following season. Now, no guarantee, you know, he's going to do that well for the Bulldogs, and you already have to assume he's starting in the first place. I think that probably will be the case, but you know, he's got a lot of the tools, but he does have to do it on Saturdays. He hasn't done that yet in his college career, but you know, you also could have a situation where you have performance that kind of matches up with some of the players we just talked about, where does good for Fresno State, not necessarily commanding top dollar from Power Four conferences. Maybe he comes back for a second year. So that's just kind of the reality of the landscape right now. So my anticipation is he's going to win the starting job, and he'll start for 1 or 2 years, and then they'll pass the torch. I'm glad as far as things look right now. It looks like Mandel's returning, and will also be competing for that job, and what a story that would be as well. I sure hope he gets a shot at some point in his Bulldog career. And you also look at Deegan Rose, and you know, you hope it works out for him too, where he gets handed the keys. And don't count out Jacob Chambers as well coming in. Both Chambers and Rose are on campus right now, but Martin's going to bring a little bit something different. He's 6'4" and 230 pounds. He's a big guy. He's not immobile either. He can run and pick up some yards on the ground when he has to. He's got a nice arm. I think probably the thing that stood out to me is that his film looks like what Fresno State probably intended for this offense, where, you know, you're going to run the ball as much as you can, and then when you pass it, you know, you're looking for that one-on-one matchup that you can attack and you have a good matchup on and get a guy open. And he just has a real knack for getting the ball out quick and getting it on target to those one-on-one guys. So he lines up a lot with what I think they envisioned to do on offense, but didn't really get to execute a whole lot of this year.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Now, people didn't hear the comment on Tuesday. Jackson, you are not averse to this 9-game, you hold your year of eligibility proposition, right? I mean, it seems a little strange, right? But I mean, is that just the reality where we're at with college sports, that you could play now, and we're worried so much about 4 games, now you can play 9 and still be okay? Is that overly generous or about right from people who didn't hear your comments the other day?
Yeah, I mean, it seems silly. It seems so close to 5 for 5. It kind of feels bizarre that they wouldn't just go a few more games and get it done with. It seems like they're headed that way. I also like the novelty of red shirts in college athletics, and I guess some teams will have to deal with that a little bit. I'm curious if they'll let guys go for 9 weeks and then shut it down, or maybe a lot of teams will just hold them out during non-conference and then work them in conference and keep that season going. If you have a playoff run, you could have a guy that plays 12 or 13 games and still red shirts for some of the nation's top teams. So, I think probably the biggest thing is that, I mean, 5 for 5 would have done it too, but it should make a lot of these injury requests a lot more simpler and a lot easier to prove. I know a lot of players are having a tough time getting that across the finish line right now.
Well, that is true. And I'm with you, and we've talked about it. A 5 for 5 makes the most sense to me. And I guess you can make the argument if somebody, you know, does become a key cog and you run out of games, that you're going to have to make a difficult choice, but certainly not the 4-game choice that was how long do you hold guys out, period. This time, said, get through the non-conference year, and basically you can run somebody out there. So I would imagine it was just one more step toward what is going to be inevitably five to play five, which makes the most sense. But then again, the NCAA, again, to quote Winston Churchill about the U.S. government, the NCAA always does the right thing, Jackson, .. after all other options have been exhausted, okay? So that's the paraphrase, Churchill, about the U.S. government, all right? So we'll see how it plays out. Now, I want to get one other thing out of the way here before we turn to basketball. You had mentioned to me about the actual timeline. When for sure do you know you're home free with this transfer portal stuff? I talk about today. When is it definitively? Because you said there's a little bit of fudge time, right?
Yeah, so the portal officially closes tonight. And just to clarify, that's closing for entries. Once you're in the portal, you can be recruited all the way till August if you need to be. But if you want to enter, it's done tonight. But schools also get a 48-hour grace period to file these requests and get them official through the NCAA to the portal. So there's still going to be some names, I think, trickling in the next few days after tonight. And then early next week, it should be all put away and done with. And it will be interesting as well with no spring portal. And from my understanding, grad transfers are also supposed to abide by this window. So you're going to have some guys in spring camps that are very clearly not in the position that they thought they would be in on the depth chart, and probably, at least as it's set up right now, not going to have a way out. So curious to see how that all unfolds here over the next couple of months.
It is an ever-changing world, and for Fresno State, all of this takes place as we get ready for the pack to kick it into gear next fall. And one more time, and we'll go over media stuff as we roll through football, because we'll wrap things up, of course, on the field on Monday with the national championship game. But Jackson, one more time, we've heard about the multiplicity of media outlets that the Pac will have, and that's all well and good. It's nice to have major players out there, more than one or two. They actually have three legit players right now as far as your media partners nationally. But still, we don't have the answer about how much money is coming in. Any idea what these contracts are going to add up to?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think there's a very large consensus that it's going to be several times over what the Mountain West is going to make, which is going to make this move worthwhile for the schools that did it. Probably not the amount that had been rumored at one point, or the high number estimates. Usually it doesn't get to that point anyway, but I'd be a little bit under there. So I'm not sure how much longer we're going to go here before we maybe hear an actual number on that.
We'll see. And for Fresno State, the Al Davis just win baby applies to every sport, but particularly to the three main sports. You have a solid football season. You hand it off now to a basketball program that is showing some signs of progress. So that's where we're going to head to right now. And I do want to mention, again, if people aren't aware, Bulldogs are home at 4 o'clock tomorrow against Wyoming. That is buy one, get one free. So it's about as good a deal as you're going to get. Also, before we jump out of air in the next half hour, I want to make sure that I once again mention that Polo Palooza is coming up at the Aquatic Center, and it will start. They'll play Natalie Benson's team, seventh in the country, will play three times over the weekend, including against number 15 Michigan tonight at 6:30. If you want the full schedule, there's a whole bunch of teams are in. This is a signature event anywhere for water polo. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com for that. The women, by the way, basketball-wise, are in Reno tomorrow. They play Nevada at 1 o'clock. You'll find that one on TheMW.com. And one thing I do want to mention about the 4 o'clock start tomorrow, and I know they can't make this kind of change, but it is unfortunate since the women are not in front of them tomorrow, which happens sometimes. It's unfortunate, Jackson, when they found out that the 49ers and the Seahawks are going to be playing at 5 o'clock on Fox, that they couldn't have moved the Fresno State-Wyoming basketball game 1 hour earlier to 3 o'clock. I guess that's something logistically they can't do, but I certainly wish they would have. I think it would help attendance, because you would have been able to watch the Bulldog game, jump in the car, and by the time they kick it off around 5:15 or so, in Seattle, people would be home. But I don't know. Is that something they could have done? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not 100% on it. It's tough with conference play. There's not as much wiggle room, but not being on national TV, you would think that they might have a chance to move that around a little bit.
Well, particularly when you have Wyoming, I don't think 1 hour would have made a difference to them. But then again, maybe they don't want to help out Fresno State and get more people in the place. Are we going to see a decent crowd through that? I mean, there's no question. Not only do you have the 49er game at 5, but also you do have, again, Josh Allen and the Bills at 1:30. But there's also a basketball fan base, I hope, still there, that doesn't really care what's going on outside of Fresno State events. So does it have major impact tomorrow, or is it kind of whatever you see is what we were going to see regardless?
Yeah, I think it's going to keep some people home. There's definitely quite a bit of crossover of Niner fans and Bulldog fans. I'd also like to think they get a little bit of a bump from some people that maybe aren't as interested in the NFL game, that maybe weren't planning on going to the Bulldog game, but saw that win over Colorado State. I mean, that's a win that this program hasn't had in quite a few years, and they did it pretty convincingly by 10 points. So hopefully it is a little bit of a wash on that front.
On the court itself, what did you think of Tuesday night? Now, I talked to Fertig, talked to Leffler about it, talked to Matt Norville yesterday. I think everybody has the same stance, Jackson. You don't want to make more of it than what it was. Colorado State is not great this year, but they have had the Bulldogs number for a while. The same thing about the San Jose State game. You're playing a team that was really struggling, and you probably had more fans than they did there. But two wins are two wins, and I know that you also have the game at San Diego State in between. But taken from San Jose to now and the possibility of what can happen tomorrow, is this program starting to turn around? Or once again, as I've asked everybody this week, too early to make that particular claim?
Well, I think it was a little bit of a statement from the fact that they were able to do it, again, so convincingly. I'm not comfortable so much with this team in a tight game after all the ones that have gone the wrong way, but they were able to keep enough of a lead down the stretch where it didn't get to that point. And you knew this team was going to be competitive with most of the conference, but could they play in that kind of a fashion against the Colorado State or a Wyoming this week? And I wasn't so sure. I was anticipating a close game that you kind of just hope at the end they find a way to pull out. They didn't have to do it. They also, I was very impressed with the way that they held the ball, only 7 turnovers. That's been a sore spot in a lot of games as of late. So to show that ability, I think, went a long way for this team. Coach Wahlberg said it. If they can stay in the single digits, they're going to have a chance to win against just about anybody. So hopefully they can continue that a bit. I think this Wyoming game is going to be a little bit of a different pace, but I think it was further proof that, not only are the Bulldogs significantly improved from last year, which is, again, not saying a whole lot based off of how bad last year was, but a lot of the Mountain West isn't as good as it's normally been. And I think, maybe those top 3 teams or so are about the only ones that really strike fear, especially when you're on the road against them. But for the last about 3 years in a row now, the Bulldogs just haven't been able to get a win against anyone except for San Jose, Air Force, Wyoming, some years UNLV. So to beat someone out of the norm and then to see how many other teams are in that mix and are beatable right now, I just think it gives you a little more confidence. And I think it's going to stick with them a little bit, because even when they lose, even if some of these games are 50-50 proposition, but I think they're going to be able to shake it off a little bit faster and feel like, except for probably when they go to the Pit and when they go to Utah State, just about every game, home or away, is something that if they play well, they can pull off.
By the way, and I have not addressed this with you, I'm going to make an assumption. I assume now with Grand Canyon in that only the top 4 seeds are going to get a bye for the conference tourney. Is that correct?
I believe so. And there is a scenario in the next 30 hours or so where Fresno State could be tied for 5th or 6th if a couple of games go the right way. So I don't expect them to finish in the top 4, but could be a little bit of a different number next to their name in the tournament than we're used to seeing.
Well, and that's the reason I brought it up, because if we were still in the 11-team format where the top 5 get a bye, Fresno State might have had an actual shot, which would have been just a discussion of that would have been progress. So, I mean, you look at this team, Jackson, and we were talking about it, you know, you just brought it up, that it was brought up during the San Diego State game by the national media coverage that you may only have one guaranteed team that could get an at-large, and that would be Utah State if they don't win the conference. That's a surprise. I mean, as compared to years gone by, we're looking at four or five. But through all of that, and understanding that maybe the conference isn't as strong, except for Utah State, where the Bulldogs played the Aggies very competitively. And one more time, the Bulldogs do have to go to Logan. They will not see San Diego State again unless it's the conference tournament. But outside of those two teams, is there anybody that you say Fresno State has absolutely no shot to beat? I mean, is it, I mean, for instance, when they go to the Pit, do you say, okay, they have a shot at New Mexico the way they're playing right now, or say not a chance?
Well, not zero, at least. It's probably still a long shot, but probably need quite a bit of breaks. Probably going there, I would still even put maybe at Nevada if they have a good crowd, at Grand Canyon could be. Those are games where, on paper, the Bulldogs can definitely compete with those teams, but you know, home crowds could play a factor. But I think just when you're talking about ugly, probably blowouts at San Diego State, at Utah State, maybe at New Mexico, you know, that was it seemed like a risk almost every night last year in conference play, but there's only a couple of those teams that are that much farther ahead of Fresno State in addition to having home court advantage right now.
Ferdy and I were talking on Wednesday, and Jack brought it up, and it's certainly the elephant in the room, and it's reality everywhere. And that is, we look at a guy like Gorey, who has been a pleasant surprise, and everybody has seen it. And when I mean everybody, I mean your opponents have seen it as well. Jackson, the good news, bad news. We just talked about this in relation to the running backs at Fresno State, that the wealth was spread around enough that even though they certainly could have left, they've all opted to stay. Basketball, over and over again, it only takes a couple players to turn things around. Is a guy like Gorey going to be, if he continues like this, someone that you're going to have to fight mightily to keep on your roster without somebody pilfering him next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And you just have to go back to last year where guys like not only Elijah Price got away even within conference, but a player like Brian Nemunique, who you're hoping the redshirt, played significantly, but you know, he didn't necessarily in the old days think a guy like that would get swiped away from a program, and definitely he sure did to get Wichita State. Even again, we're not talking about a major power conference school or blue blood or anything. So I guess what you hope for is that the season goes well enough to where perhaps it influences some more dollars to come in, and you've got a little more retainment power when it comes time to keeping some of these guys.
All right, the last thing about basketball for today, and again, 4 o'clock tomorrow. I assume you're going to be threading tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so check that out on the board. Jackson will have the full rundown, and you can put your comments in at parkboard.com. But this team right now, as constructed, is certainly a lot better than last year. How much better, we're going to find out. But the elephant in the room has been the fan base and where they've gone and how, and this is not merely on what's happened the last 2 years. Even during the first year under Hutt, where he was the first year, the Joe B. Hall National Coach of the Year, people, I think, forget that he did win that award as the best first year coach. Even back to Rodney Terry when the Bulldogs were in the NC2As back in 2016, where they were playing against guys like Jakob Pertl and Kyle Kuzma. How long ago does that seem, right? Trying to get people consistently in SMC has been tough, Jackson, and it continue to be tough. What is going to happen to get people to put this on their radar? Because I just mentioned the other day, the old Thursday-Saturday lineup used to be a lot easier because it was later in the week and people would pay attention and you didn't have a lot of competition of basketball on TV the way you do now on ESPN and whatever. So even if you're a basketball fan, there's so much of it on NC2A, pro, you name it. But just for this community, the Tuesday Saturday's a tough deal. It's done because of the networks. There's a long gap between, so sometimes you lose. I mean, like we're talking about the Tuesday game for the first time. It was a month ago, right? They played the Tuesday game. It's hard to have games on earlier in the week when people aren't paying attention because the game gets by them. Outside of a Thursday-Saturday schedule next year, is there anything that can be done to get people's attention other than the obvious, which is winning, and is that sufficient these days?
Well, I think it's in tears. If they can be more competitive this year, I think it'll at least have a bump. It probably won't be what we all want it to be, the packed house and all that, especially if they could fill the lower bowl, just that would be phenomenal. Still probably a long ways from doing that. I think this year at least, we've got the next two Saturdays at home, and then there's three Saturdays in a row in February, so hopefully that helps with attendance. There's not many Tuesday nights the rest of the way at the Save Mart Center. I think next year, I've talked about this program just kind of needing one needle-moving moment, and I think Gonzaga coming to town is going to be one of those opportunities. Hopefully it's on a convenient tip-off time and day for people to get there, and hopefully Fresno State can be competitive. I mean, if Gonzaga's ranked and comes to town and Fresno State gets that upset, that could go a long way and sell a lot of tickets for the rest of the season next year. So that's kind of what I got circled as far as the next 14 months or so for this program.
Well, as we have seen in the past, when Stanford came in with Lopez twins, huge crowd because it was Stanford and the Lopez twins. The Oregon game, which was the game with that 22-1 run, that game got away, right? Part of the legacy, and it's an unfortunate legacy of Fresno State having that big win over the fan base game, and somehow it gets away from them. Hopefully that changes. But no doubt, if it's at all at a decent time, people are going to show up to see those Bulldogs, to see the Zags. And if you can win that game, that's great. We'll see. All right. As far as how you view then this weekend, I'm just wondering, I have said this is a great opportunity to sweep a homestand. I think that they will win tomorrow. What say you?
I think so, too. I think the confidence from Tuesday's game, having some time compared to Wyoming, taking that loss to San Diego State, and also having to travel on a shorter window, certainly helps the Bulldogs overall. And I think this game's going to be a little more scrappy than the Colorado State game. The Cowboys put a lot of guards on the court. It's going to be a little more up-tempo and faster pace. And the Bulldogs really, I just think the combination of three-point shooting and preventing giveaways, those two things combined probably are going to be telling the story, whether the Bulldogs are overachieving or underachieving on a given night, but this game especially. I kind of hope they find a way to get Jack Manny involved. I know they've been hesitant to get him too many minutes when they're playing four guard teams. So I think Wilson Jocks has a good matchup. So I hope those two can maybe be a little bit of the game breakers against the Cowboys guards, who they've got a lot of them, and they all know how to score.
We'll see how it plays out tomorrow. Again, 4:00. If you can't make it, I hope you are out there, because it is a buy one, get one free, which is a great deal. If you can't make it, it is available on dmw.com. And so if you're firmly ensconced in the National Football League and you're watching the Bills and the Broncos at 1:30 and the 49ers and the Seahawks at 5:00, put it on another set if you can, and stream it and take a look at it. And at least that way you'll get some idea of how Fresno State was able to perform. A chance to sweep a homestand in conference for the first time since Vance took over as coach. All right, Jackson, one last thing for you, and that is the national championship game on Monday. You and I will not talk again on air till Tuesday. Miami, by quirk, gets a home game. Now, it's not going to be a home crowd, because a lot of those tickets, like the Super Bowl, if the 49ers were to make it, yeah, it's their home stadium, but a lot of the crowd is not their season ticket holders in this situation. Same for Miami, but it beats the hell out of playing in a neutral site, and a lot better than playing at the Hoosier Dome. Okay, trust me. Because of that, maybe they have a puncher's chance. Indiana, I never thought in my life I would ever say this. The Indiana football team appears to be unbeatable. That's an extraordinary statement. Does Miami have any chance at all? Will the slipper fit number 10 seed Cinderella one more time, or are they going to be, they're all going to turn into pumpkins here about the time the game kicks off? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Want to work somewhere fun, flexible, and
rewarding? Not rolling in to win the championship game. I think it's probably a safe bet. This one will be closer than Indiana's last two. You just have to imagine it has to be, but it's hard for me to see in Miami pull it off. I think the storylines of Miami winning, the upset, being at home, I think just the reality of the 10th best team winning a championship in a sport where it was so exclusive to get that opportunity would be something to reflect on. So there's enough of the what-ifs there to tune in for sure and be locked in, but I think Indiana's going to keep on rolling. And they've got, I mean, usually the number one team's pretty polarizing, but I think there's enough feel-good storylines here with this program that it's not going to turn people off either to see them win it.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. They are one of the haves, but then again, Miami's one of the haves too. But the fact that Indiana has been downtrodden for so long, I mean, this is really the first time we've seen, if you bring up Indiana in national championships, you're thinking about Bobby Knight and those Hoosiers. You're not thinking about the football team. So in that regard, they're not the little engine that could, don't misunderstand, but they are certainly one that has never been in this position. And so I would assume, given the amount of talent they have, that they are going to go ahead and win the game. But maybe the Hurricanes are destiny's darling. We'll find out. We have the game for you at 4:30 on Monday. Jackson, I appreciate it. I hope you have a great threading day tomorrow. And one last question. Special deal still going on the board right now?
Yes, it's currently 50% off a year for VIP. It's just $5 a month that way, and coming close to the end of it here. It's going to run through the weekend, so I hope people will take advantage of that and get all set up for the rest of the offseason, spring ball, and the full 2026 football season, too.
A great deal. Hope people take you up on it, and I will also remind you that for the safety of the Valley, please, you and John Morant, do not get in your convertible tonight raising hell at around midnight. That's all I'm telling you, okay? The two of you together just can't be stopped, Jackson. You guys are out of control. You're a bad influence on Ja Morant. You know that?
It's all my fault.
You're the live streamer. Everything he does, people don't notice. Ja Morant's there in the car and right next to him live streaming all the time. That's right. Noted Memphis Grizzly honks, Jackson Moore. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, Faison. Take care.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, guys, the Factor co-host Jackson Moore. Take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. Full 3 hours today. He's got a lot to talk about because we have four enormously important National Football League divisional games coming up on our air. And, of course, just talking about the national championship on Monday. So five huge games coming up between tomorrow and Monday. Get back to that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, about 5 minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil. His great show, Behind the Bench, the full 3 hours today over on 790 The Shark. And by the way, Macron Celebrini just having an outstanding year. Hard to believe he's still just a teenager, for goodness sake. Sharks are in Detroit to play the Wings tonight, 3:30, and they'll drop the puck at 4 o'clock. Lakers, after that's an abysmal showing last night against Charlotte. They'll be on our air over the weekend. And, of course, we have the main feature, the National Football League, the four divisional games, and then the college championship on Monday. Tell you all about the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you one more time about our great friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, doing so much to support athletics throughout the valley and on this station. Get ready to turn up the heat right now at those KFCs. The new Zinger sandwich is around. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that will hit every craving for you. It's bold, it's spicy, and as usual, it's finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just a great taste, pick up one of the Zinger sandwiches at the local KFCs. They have the crunch that you always love from the folks at KFC. Again, if you stop in, tell them thank you for everything they do for the Valley. And also keep in mind they have the other specials as well. In addition to the Zinger Chicken Sandwich, they've got the Tuesday $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer. They have a great offer for country fried steak and also for their pot pies. So check everything out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. As far as the schedule, again, it's brought to you by Precision Civil Engineering. That means Ed Dunkel and Company. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisieng.net. Or if you prefer Precision Eng, either way, I say ENG so you know for sure how to spell it when you get to the website pronto by typing in on your URL bar. Now, as far as what Ed is able to do for the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State, he's been a great benefactor. That he went through that engineering school at Fresno State. He's a proud graduate of Fresno State, and his company always has the goal of unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and a lot of those students end up working for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. He also affords me the time every day to tell you about the schedule. So here we go. Phil, normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with his outstanding show, Behind the Bench. Great conversation of Phil's show when you're at Fashion Furniture. Speaking of someone, by the way, who gives so much to the Valley to support athletics, Rod Abedikian's done this for years and years and years, and we've talked about this. Rod is there at Fashion Furniture. Best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. El Paso, of course, across from River Park. Great conversation of Phil's show on Thursday. Some good eats as well. You also can reach Phil if you can't get there in person or you're on your way to see him. You can reach him on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. So check Phil's show out, and again, on Thursdays, there in person at Fashion Furniture. Paul Meadows, who works with Phil for play-by-play events in high school, has two fine shows on a weekly basis. Over on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings, Paul has Sunbird Sports Show all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. He also has his outstanding and long-running show on Saturday mornings on 1430 from First String Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And now, specifically about the weekend before we wrap things up, you have the four National Football League divisional games coming up. We'll have everything for you through the Super Bowl. And it opens up 1:30. They'll kick it off. Josh Allen and the Bills are in Denver. By the way, when I was mentioning Josh's wife, Haley Steinfeld, wearing Denver gear, the reason that was odd 10 years ago, first, she was only like 18 years old 10 years ago, but she's been an actress for a long time. She's from Southern California, so it's highly unlikely she was there as a Denver Bronco fan. I think she was there because she was paid to promote something at Levi's Stadium, which 10 years later, of course, where the Super Bowl's back, and hopefully the 49ers and Bills will both get there. Bills are actually favored now to get to the Super Bowl. The 49ers actually are more favorites than the Rams, yet, of course, Seattle is above them in that pecking order. So we'll open up 1:30 with the Bills and the Broncos in Denver, and the 49ers and the Seahawks at 5 o'clock. Ricky Pearsall is going to play. I know that Sam Darnold has an oblique issue, but I can guarantee you he's going to play for Seattle. And Fred Warner, as much as he wanted to play, he's not going to. If the 49ers were to make the championship game, they'd have to go to either Chicago or to SoFi. Trust me, they'd rather go to SoFi weather-wise. Fred might be able to play if they get to a title game, but the 49ers are fairly big underdogs in Seattle, though they did win earlier in the year in that divisional matchup. But they did lose at home convincingly, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, and the Seahawks are much more healthy. The 49ers without Kittle now, without Warner, without Bosa. I think Winters, I don't think, is going to play. That is a real tough deal for them. But, you know, that's why they play the game. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Those games from Westwood One. And then on Sunday, the early game on Sunday is the Texans' visit to Foxborough to play the Patriots. And the late game, the Rams and the Bears. And I'll remind you guys again, as far as the lineup goes, CBS for the early game tomorrow, meaning the Bills game, Fox for the 49er game, ESPN and ABC for that Texan-Patriots game on Sunday morning, and then NBC wraps up with Chicago and the Rams at Soldier Field, where at last check, the forecast says when the game starts, and it will start at 5:30 or thereabouts Chicago time, 3:30 out here, when it starts, 33-mile-an-hour winds and a feels-like temperature of minus 13 to minus 18 degrees. So I'll say this again, Ram fans, that game in Carolina, not the one you just pulled out, but the one in the regular season, that cost you a whole bunch because that cost you home field. It was 80 degrees in sunny Southern California yesterday, but not going to make any difference. They better bundle up big time. Ought to be one hell of a weekend of football. And, of course, it culminates Monday with the national championship game on our air from ESPN Radio. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Phil coming up for the full three. We'll see you guys on Monday on KFIG Fresno.